This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Forum. This week, you'll learn with over 500,000 listeners the secrets of success from top CEOs. No sound bites, no gotchas. Instead, you'll hear direct insights, stories, and wisdom on personal leadership and on growing your business. Unfiltered and straight from the most successful CEOs. Hope you enjoy. And if you miss a CEO interview, you can hear any on our website, www.ceoforum.ceo. Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, and we're here today with Chris Young. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing well, Robert. Thanks.
And Chris is the CEO of McAfee, which is among the largest cybersecurity companies in the world. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the really interesting transition to build McAfee and go stand up. But first, tell us, what is McAfee?
So McAfee is one of the world's largest independent cybersecurity companies. We've actually been around for nearly 30 years. We were part of Intel for a few years, and then just earlier this year in April of 2017, we spun ourselves back out to become an independent company with a private equity sponsorship.
Okay. We're going to talk about that transition a little later, but for now, what's top of mind, CEOs tell me every day, digital assassination is big, cybersecurity is huge. They want to know, what is the state of cybersecurity now?
Yeah, I would tell you that cybersecurity is one of the top issues that any business or any government should be dealing with or thinking about and certainly acting on. And I think that's true whether you're in some form of digital transition, whether you're in some form of business transition. You know, cybersecurity is something that impacts all of us. And cybersecurity has a tremendous amount of complexity. It impacts individuals, it impacts businesses, it impacts governments. You've got a variety of different players or attackers on the other side of the ledger, so to speak. It's very challenging in the sense that there's a tremendous amount of anonymity on the part of the attackers, and they're innovating, they're moving very quickly, they're combining different technologies and methods for attacking us. And I think that that's really created, you know, even what we're seeing this year in 2017, it's created yet another wave of I would say, very public type of attacks, whether it's large-scale data breaches or even kind of what I would consider to be an outbreak, like we've heard about, you know, things like WannaCry and Petya were big outbreaks that we had earlier this year that impacted many companies around the world. In fact, you know, WannaCry hit organizations, public sector and private sector, in over 150 countries in less than 24 hours.
And what is it, if you could look at patterns, what are the patterns of why people are embarking on all of these attacks? What are they trying to accomplish?
You know, there's a few key motivations behind these kinds of attacks. One motivation is just pure crime. You know, they're able to make money. You know, you hear in the popular media a lot about ransomware as an example. Ransomware is just one of the latest ways in which attackers are trying to monetize their attack types. And, you know, ransomware is very simple. It's a type of malware. They get in. They infect machines. It can be consumers or businesses that get infected. They effectively encrypt or lock up your files. They don't try to remove them or breach and steal information. They lock them so you don't have access. And then they say, hey, if you pay me $300 or whatever the number is in Bitcoin, now I guess that price might be going up given the price of Bitcoin.
Bitcoin's going up quickly.
However, you pay the ransom in Bitcoin, and they will unlock your files. And we've seen this become, I mean, this is really the fastest growing category of attack that we see in the market right now. So that's just one motivation. There's other plenty of other motivations. Stealing information and selling it on the black market. There's espionage. Governments get involved where they're trying to obviously spy on one another using cyber channels. There's what we call hacktivism, where people are just trying to make a statement or send a message about you know, a certain issue that they tend to care about. There are cyber attacks associated with terrorism as another example. So, you know, you pick, there's multiple, there are multiple, I would say, motivations behind these cyber attacks. Those are just a few of the ones that tend to bubble up to the top when we see the attack pattern sort of form itself.
And as a CEO, what should they be thinking about cybersecurity?
You know, the number one piece of advice I give to the CEO when you think about cybersecurity is that for your organization, whether you're public or private, for-profit, not-for-profit, is you need to be thinking about how do I drive a culture of security in my organization.
That's interesting. A culture of security.
A culture. And the reason I say that is very simple. As the CEO, you're probably not the person selecting the individual security technologies and tools that you're going to buy. You have a CIO. You have a CISO, Chief Information Security Officer. And you have teams of people who focus on those kinds of challenges. But you should be focused on, you know, is security a priority in my organization? Are my employees, are my partners, are they aware? And are they actually educated about the importance of helping protect the company? The number one vulnerability for any organization from a cybersecurity perspective is the employee base.
I've heard it's something like 41% of attacks are actually unwittingly through employees.
That is absolutely right. I mean, because, you know, employees click on links and get infected. Employees get an email that looks legitimate, they get infected. Those are vectors, you know, that a lot of attackers are using to get in, and then they're able to move around, they're then able to execute the attack that they've got. And so it's just like kind of like when you're in the New York subway, you have those kind of see something, say something campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing from a cybersecurity perspective. If you got an aware employee base, if you train them, if you make this kind of part of your culture, that vulnerability.
Are
as
there
an employee,
any? I want to interrupt. Yeah. Any actions a CEO should specifically take to make this culture of security?
Absolutely. Number one, you could actually build security into your values. So you
can
think about it. You know, most companies have somewhere between 5 to 7
right.
values. You could actually modify each one with security, or you could add one that is security. And make it about cybersecurity. That would be one thing. In fact,
okay.
I think that's really important. I think number two, you can talk about it, and you can make sure that you're hiring people who bring experience from a cybersecurity perspective to your organization. Think about your board. Do you have people on your board who are educated and can help you from a cybersecurity?
Should they usually have one person on the board who has an expertise, or you're saying more of have everyone be aware of it and start to look for that when you hire?
I think you kind of want both. It's kind of like any board. Like in a board, you usually have people with certain expertise in finance, for example, because mm-hmm. you've got audit issues mm-hmm. and things like that, compliance that you have to deal with. So you probably want an expert, but then you want everyone on your board to have some basic level of understanding and appreciation for what cybersecurity would mean to that board and to that company. And then the other one I would say is this is the best piece of advice I got. I got it from Brian Krebs. He's actually a known security journalist. He said, look, assume you've been hacked. Just start there. Assume you've been hacked.
Interesting.
That'll make you more proactive. It'll make you operate in a very different way than if you're just kind of going along hoping, wishing, or assuming that nothing's happened to your organization.
And fact is, there are two types of companies, companies that have been hacked and companies that, you know.
Indeed.
No. This is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, where we speak with the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Chris Young, who is the CEO of McAfee, the largest independent cybersecurity company. Give me an example of a client you worked with, and you could either say the company's name or just say what industry it was in, what their challenge was, and what you did on a B2B sense with them.
Yeah, so one of my favorite stories is, you know, we had a customer, you know, I joined the organization, it was Intel at the time, but I joined just a little over 3 years ago, and I had a customer probably about 6 months after I joined. It's from one of the larger logistics companies in the world. You know, we sat down and you know, this was the head of cybersecurity. He kind of said, look, you know, we've been using McAfee for years. You know, you guys, we have a bunch of your products, but you know, I'm not sure, like, where we're going with you. I'm not sure how things are playing out. And, you know, so we, you know, he kind of put us on notice that he wasn't sure if we were the right partner for the long term. And I said to him, I said, look, you know, our goal here, you know, now that I've joined, is not just to sell you things. Our goal is to be your number one security partner. It doesn't mean we're the only people who sell you cybersecurity technology. There's lots of things you need to buy and use. But I said our goal is to be your partner, and I just want the opportunity to prove to you that we can be a real partner, an extension of your organization, extension of your cybersecurity team. So what we did is you know, we put additional people. We actually put people in their security team, so men and women who literally were working shoulder to shoulder with their folks, and they had some issues with one of these outbreaks over the last, you know, 12 to 18 months. And we had a couple of technologies that worked really, really well. They had some divisions that got hit harder than others because they weren't fully up to speed. And we were able to quickly react and really kind of drive a cross-company-wide response. We helped to save them a lot of headache. We helped save them some disruption in their operations. And, you know, the subsequent outcome was we've really, you know, grown our relationship, and we've really solidified our partnership with them as their kind of number one cybersecurity partner. So they were better protected. They got better results, less impact from the attack, and we were able to really prove to them that we were there to be their partner.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum. When we come back with...
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered, from business deals gone wrong to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771, 800-831-0771, or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, and we're here today with Chris Young, who is the CEO of McAfee, the largest independent cybersecurity company. So you were from the Cisco days and everything. You were then 2014, you're with Intel. Talk about what happened, because McAfee was part of Intel then.
Yeah, so when I got to when I came to Intel, McAfee was kind of a small cybersecurity division within a much larger organization. There had been for a while a struggle to determine hey, there's this kind of software oriented company. Most of what Intel does is mostly focused on semiconductors and more hardware oriented solutions, very focused on data center, IoT, and some of the kinds of things that are trending in the market today. And so we had a lot of conversations about the strategy. We did a lot of work to try to figure out where did what were the right sort of touch points between core McAfee and the rest of Intel. And ultimately we came to the conclusion that given what was happening in the market, given what had changed since Intel had acquired McAfee, given what the needs for really for our customers to have kind of dedicated companies who are focused on the cybersecurity problem, we came to the conclusion that the best way for us to go about serving that market need was to actually spin McAfee back out to be an independent firm so we could focus on 100% on the cybersecurity problem without, really the distraction of being part of a much larger organization that was involved in many, many different things, security being one of them.
And you actually led that transition. Talk about the lessons you learned from a leadership standpoint.
I feel like I could write a book on spinning a company out. I mean, so first of all, McAfee is a little bit over 7,000 people, $2.5 billion roughly in revenue. So while we were a small piece of Intel, like we're relatively, we would just crack the Fortune 1000 list if we were a publicly traded company. And that's a big, there was a lot of work to spin ourselves out. If you think about it, we had to rebuild finance, IT, HR. We had to rebuild a lot of our policies, our compensation models. And, keeping our employee-based focus through all that was one of the biggest challenges we had.
How did you do it?
Well, you over-communicated. Like, I literally was, I was doing live all-hands meetings almost every month. We were doing written communications. We were doing email. We were doing videos. It was literally an exercise in over communicating to an organization because in times of transition, people have uncertainty and they don't know what's going to happen next.
How do you get that over communication to cascade down to a 7,000 person organization? You're doing it, but now you have your executive team, now you have your managers, your directors. How do you do that as CEO?
We were very structured about pass downs. So, every time I would do something, we basically codify that, whether it was slideware or written notes, and we would actually have others deliver those same messages all the way down through the organization. We would then roll that back up and cascade it. We were actually constantly surveying to understand, what were people worried about. There were road shows that we were doing to try to understand on the ground how were people thinking about and feeling what.
And how did you know you've arrived? You're there.
Well, it's kind of like a wedding. Once you announce you're going to do something and the date gets set, like, you're getting married. and that's kind of what happened. And so you just go through it. We were pulsing employees along the way. We did a lot of work to make sure that, our customers and our partners knew that we were going to get through this. We were very focused on our priorities. We had five priorities. We needed to be able to book business, bill, ship, pay, and close.
And let me ask you, now as CEO, what's number one on your dashboard? When you wake up in the morning, you have 7,000 people, $2.5 billion revenue, and you're handling the cybersecurity for, it's something like 90% of the Fortune 100 companies, right? Yeah. So it's a big responsibility. What's number one on your dashboard?
Number one thing I'm focused on today is solving the customer's problem for tomorrow. So we just made an acquisition announcement 2 weeks ago. We're acquiring a cloud company called Sky-High Networks.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest transitions customers are going through from a security and from an IT perspective is a transition to cloud with their applications and data. Like the future world that we see is that literally every person, every worker, every user is going to be on some device and they're going to be accessing applications and data that sit in the cloud. The security model isn't built for that yet. We're still built on a model that, you know, that anticipates,
a great point.
Anticipates a captive network. Mm-hmm. You have people who are in the network and people who work from home. They VPN in. The world's transitioning to this new model, and so one of our goals is to transition in a way that we can help our customers have the security capabilities that they need as they move in that direction, ultimately as they arrive there, which is why cloud is such a critical a component of what we've got to do. So as the CEO, my number one focus is not where we've been, but where do we need to be to meet the needs of that customer.
And his vision and future is a big part of the CEO's job. Where do you go to get information about what the future will be?
I go right to the market. I spend a lot of my time with our customers really trying to understand what's happening, what are their challenges, what are they doing, what are we good at, what are we not good at. Spend a lot of time in the field with our employees who are out there in the forward. Like I kind of think about it as like they're our artillery. They're out there like in the field.
Okay, so from all of this, what is it that you've learned that you could say by 2020, here's where the market is going to be? What should CEOs know about that?
So I would tell you that cloud-based data and applications is one transition that it's happening. And that shouldn't be a secret to anyone. I would be sort of surprised if some CEOs weren't on that one. But the other one that I think is really, I would say, sort of under the radar for a lot of us is that I don't think people understand how much they're doing today that isn't transitioning fast. And so what's going to really, I think, hurt a lot of organizations is they're going to end up with like kind of two, like they're straddling the line where they've got some stuff they're doing in the cloud and they still got all this legacy left behind. And I guess that's going to be true whether you're a technology company or whether you're, you know, like a non-technology company, although everyone's kind of becoming a technology company today. But how do you really drive your company all the way forward? Like if you're going to actually adopt cloud, how do you become fully cloud-enabled in everything you're doing as opposed to having some things you're doing in the cloud and some things you're not? Because that's going to be more costly.
You've about a minute and a half left. Let's focus on a personal challenge you have, what you learned from it in your life.
You know, I would tell you that I actually started in cybersecurity in the late 90s, and I actually started a non-traditional career path. I actually started in a startup, and then that didn't work. Like we started it, and we kind of got it up and running. We wrote up the business in the late 90s and wrote it back down when the bubble burst in 2000, and learned a lot. But we actually were able to sell and kind of lick our wounds and move on. But then ultimately, I went and kind of ended up at larger and larger organizations.
You learn from all of this?
You know, what I learned is that, you hear this a lot, but you can't be afraid of failure, and you can't look at anything as a failure. You have to be able to look at your career and your life as a constant set of experiences, which you learn from, and then you take those examples, you take those lessons forward. You know, I'm fortunate that I was able to spend time in what today is one of the most important, I would say, domains in our, our overall IT, certainly technology, and even now business landscape, cybersecurity. But we didn't even call it that when I started in the business. We used to call it InfoSec or IT security. But I learned a lot from those days. I learned a lot about, when I was an entrepreneur, about what it actually took to run a company, and I've been able to apply some of those lessons even today.
Well, great having you on the CEO Forum.
Great, thanks.
Your website is?
Our website is www.mcafee.com.
And CEOs think of one thought: build a culture of security.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutral. Neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Every industry faces distinguishing challenges and circumstances that shape the business and financial landscape. Camusso CPA LLC delivers unrivaled depth of knowledge and an engaging experience relevant to each client's industry-specific needs. Camusso offers preemptive guidance and knowledge required to achieve your greatest business and personal financial potential. Our approach is based on forging long-term business relationships accompanied by trust and value, creating an ever-important partnership. Build your dedicated financial team with us today. Visit CamussoCPA.com. That's CamussoCPA.com.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan," and in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, and we're here today with Dr. Samuel Waxman. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And yourself?
Very well.
Good to be with you.
And Dr. Waxman is the founder of the Samuel Waxman Cancer Research Foundation. Now, we will talk more about you are doing breakthrough work that is linking aging and it's linking cancer together, and it's creating all sorts of new opportunities for people to prevent cancer. But we'll talk about that later. I want to take back 41 years. It's 1976, and you had an idea, and you're only 30 years old, a physician, and you founded something that has collaboration where no one was doing anything like this in the world. Talk about that.
I'd be happy to. Those were just the beginning of my career. I'm a practicing hematologist on the faculty at Mount Sinai, and I have my own lab, and I'm doing research in something quite important and becoming pretty well known in that field, at the same time taking care of patients. One of my patients happened to have Hodgkin's disease, and I took care of him, treated him, and he was cured of the disease. A family member was so excited about that, he wanted to meet me, and he found out that I also did research. And so he, like any other businessman, asked me, how is research funded? And I said, well, you have to get a grant and pay for it by yourself. And my grants were coming from the National Institutes of Health, which I had a few of. National Cancer Institute, to be precise. Long story short, he said to me, what happens if you don't get a grant? And he said, well, you may have to close your lab. And he said, that doesn't sound right. Can you sell your research? Well, you know, it wasn't done at that time. We didn't think about IP and things like that. So he said to me, Sam, would you want to have a foundation? Now, here, this was as foreign to me as anything, and nothing entered my mind. So I said, you know, if you thought it was possible, it would be a good idea. Well, Barry left, and I didn't expect to really take he'd follow up, but he indeed, the very next day, called me up, and he said, my father-in-law, who he works for, Irving, would like to meet you at his business. So I went over to Regal Accessories, which was a medium-sized fashion ladies' clothes, and one of the first places to actually make clothes in China. And I walked into the showroom, and there is Barry, and next to him, obviously, his father-in-law, a very Damon Runyon-looking guy with a cigar, and three or four other people in the company, and surrounded by racks of clothes. Irving says to me, Barry here, points to his son-in-law, says you do good work. I thanked him very much. Without any further hesitation, he then says to me, Barry here says you should have a foundation. And I'm listening, not really knowing what's going to come next. And I said, I'm sure that would be helpful. He said, okay. He turns around to his person in charge of finance and says, write him out a check for $10,000. This is happening in real time. And then he writes, turns around to his lawyer who's there, and he said, Joe, is it difficult to make a foundation? He said, no. He said, make him a foundation. This is now 5 minutes. And then he said to me, what should we call it? And I had not been prepared to call it anything. So he said, you have to call it something. We'll call it by your name. I said, well, I'm just starting out. No one will know me. And he said, if you do good work, they'll know you. And he said, fine. What's your name? This is a true story. And I gave him my name at that point. And that's how the foundation got started. So here's an individual, a businessman, a CEO of a small, pretty large company, taking an investment. And it led to this foundation that's raised nearly $100 million for research, $10,000 to $100 million.
And what's brilliant about this, and it's a heartwarming story, that leverage can happen and that people can live how they're supposed to and fulfill their destiny,
is that you had an initial concept about collaboration, even with $10,000 was a lot more in 1976 than it is today, that's
right.
For sure. But it's not all the money in the world, but it's still, you had this bigger idea of collaboration. Talk about what your vision for collaboration was.
Well, in order to have collaboration, you've got to create an honest culture, a give and take. And so I've always felt that science, to get from the lab to the patient, required multidisciplines. Because you have basic sciences, you have translational research that take that and start putting it preclinical, you have clinical trials to get to the patient. So you need many different disciplines. And I knew about that early because not only did I do research, I always took care of patients and I understand the process. Now, in order to do that, you've got to have capital to make it happen. So as the foundation grew, I was able to use part of it for my own lab, but really, I like to say unselfishly, started to offer other people a way of being part of the research that I do. So I shared really early. And then the foundation took another level of growth, which enabled us to really form a foundation with a scientific advisory committee and a bunch of scientists that we could then contact. And in a relatively short time, over a 10-year period, we started giving competitive grants out based on our mission. We had a very specific mission.
Which was?
To understand why genes malfunction to cause cancer. That's one discipline. Identify the malfunctioning gene. Second part is how to correct that with medicine. And the third thing, try it in patients and make it a entity a correction and into a minimally toxic treatment. It's a commonly used idea now, but this was not very commonly used some years ago.
Well, back then, you were clearly a pioneer, but there's another thing that you did pioneering. If we fast forward to 1982, at that time, the United States did not have very strong diplomatic relationships with China, but it's fortuitous. Maybe the person who endowed you with the foundation had business in China, because exactly. All of a sudden, you started something with China, and I think it was the first time ever, eradicated potentially a cancer disease. Talk about what you did with APL.
Well, you know, it all comes together, Robert. The opportunity that the foundation allowed me to do was to develop this concept that cancer cells could be treated differently other than chemotherapy or toxic treatments, although it has a role, and I'm not talking against it. But the more direct way would be, if you knew if a cancer cell was not functioning because of a gene, you should be able to find a medicine to correct that biochemical problem it creates. So how did we get into this China story is an extension of that $10,000. You're right. It turns out two things happened. We had extra money. Someone working in my lab here at Mount Sinai, I've been here for the longest time, so I'm now a distinguished professor. You live here long enough, you become distinguished, you see. At any rate.
And you've 2 minutes till break, so let's move into what you've accomplished.
So very rapidly, we established a relationship with a group of scientists in China. And it turned out we taught them in my lab how to do something called differentiation therapy.
Differentiation therapy. What does that mean?
It means that if cancer cells have within it information that is blocked, that would, if you could unblock that in some way, they would know how to differentiate into the function they normally should have. They normalize. If they normalize, what happens to a normal cell? It becomes, does a job, and dies. If you can get leukemia cells to do that, recognize who they were supposed to be, do their job, they'll go on to a normal death. Okay, so that's the basis of what my mission was, okay? And so as we share this with some Chinese scientists that came in 1982 to my lab, they just loved the idea of differentiation. They went back to Shanghai. I started going back there almost every year.
and we started working on a form of leukemia called acute promyelocytic leukemia.
And you've 30 seconds till break.
Okay.
What happened?
What happened is that we found we could make acute promyelocytic leukemia differentiate with drugs that are non-toxic. One is a vitamin A derivative, another one is arsenic. They're both incredibly interesting story. And presently, around the world, this disease is now 95% curable without chemotherapy.
And it's the first cancer-related that ever happened.
As far as I know, yes.
And we are on that note, coming back to a break. When we come back, we will hear more about what happened with APL. Back in a few.
Every industry faces distinguishing challenges and circumstances that shape the business and financial landscape. Camusso CPA LLC delivers unrivaled depth of knowledge and an engaging experience relevant to each client's industry-specific needs. Camusso offers preemptive guidance and knowledge required to achieve your greatest business and personal financial potential. Our approach is based on forging long-term business relationships accompanied by trust and value, creating an ever-important partnership. Build your dedicated financial team with us today. Visit CamussoCPA.com. That's CamussoCPA.com.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast?
We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, and we're here with Dr. Samuel Waxman, and we were talking right now about your involvement in the first cure, in a sense, of a cancer-related disease called APL.
Right.
Continue.
Well, so APL is a story we continue to talk about because it is an example that if you understand what breaks down in the gene system, you can correct it generally with a medicine.
It's not all about chemotherapy. It's about identifying something and finding the medicine that works.
Exactly right. And so this has now become,
which is much better for the patient.
When it works, it's much better for the person. Okay. So what's really happened? I think this whole disease opened up this field that you could target a cancer cell if you knew what was wrong with it.
And you're teaching these cells to do what they're supposed to do. It's like
right.
When we have kids, we know what they should do, and you want to get them on the path. You're getting cancer cells on the path.
Of normalization. Exactly.
Of normalization.
So the APL story opened up many different forms of studies in other forms of cancer. And even today, people are working on that same concept of changing cancer cell behavior for various reasons. Okay? So the foundation has been built on the idea that we can make this happen in other forms of cancer.
And we want to now fast forward, because
right.
In 2017, and you've done great stuff. What is your website if people want to look at that?
The website is waxmancancer.org.
That's easy. Waxmancancer.org.
Yeah,
everyone hear that. Let's fast forward to 2017. You've taken this idea of differentiation, and you're really putting it on steroids, doing something that hasn't been done through your concept of partnerships. And that is linking two elements, aging and cancer study. Talk about the breakthrough that you're working on right now and what you hope to accomplish.
Okay, so what has driven me to move in the direction of cancer as a disease of aging? So it's well known that as you get older, the incidence of cancer rises dramatically. Starting at age 40, right up until 80, is a straight line of increasing incidence. So anybody would say, hey, aging must have something to do with this, right? And so it's been understood that it does, but we're standing here scratching our heads and not really taking an active role to fund that fundamental question, why is cancer a disease of aging? If we could understand that, we could clearly have impact in preventing that slope going up, flatten it out, and maybe it wouldn't happen until you go up at 80.
And at that point, cancer cells grow in a much slower rate. So
not necessarily. That's a really...
old wives' tale?
Cancer is too unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's really too unpredictable.
But so what you're talking about is now the enigma, this big question of
why does cancer link to aging? Once you could crack that code, you could start to figure out how to stop that from happening.
That's the goal. That's the goal. And so I often say, I'm not a young person anymore. I'm young in heart and mind. But in years, I have lots of years behind me. I'm thinking about your kids and your grandkids are predicted to live longer than us.
So this aging is going to be even worse for them.
Exactly.
So everyone's going to have cancer.
That's right. Then. Well, I'm not saying everyone, but people often ask me, why is the incidence of cancer going up? And the reason is people are living longer.
So what is it? What is it you hope to discover? Now, you're involving, I think you have a total of about 30 different partnerships
right.
throughout the world, and you know, right. very involved in China still.
Right. So this is a big question. This is not a simple question. I mean, we could talk here and you could come up with about six ideas of why this could happen. So you first have to set the problem in motion. So what I did was I discussed this with the director of the National Cancer Institute and the National Institute of Aging, both at the NIH. They are a major government for funding and big programs. And I asked them, hey guys, how many grants have you given out in the past year that brings people working in cancer together with people working in aging? Because that makes a good collaboration. Mm-hmm. And they looked it over and they said 6 out of 6,000.
Mm.
Then I asked them, well, you got the National Institute of Aging here and the National Cancer Institute there on the same campus. How many programs do you have together? They didn't have any.
Zero.
Right. So I said, we got to do something about that. So the foundation started a program called Partnership with the SWCRF, the National Cancer Institute, and the National Institute of Aging. We're coming out with a national program that I worked on for the last year and a half. We got the government, it's a $3 million program to start to bring people working in cancer and aging together. They have to have a collaboration in order to apply for this grant, which will be monitored and given out to the government to the usual peer review, very high bar, but you've got to have them working together to do it.
You have just 1 minute left. My question is cancer curable?
Cancer is treatable and curable in some people. Unfortunately, the incidence of cancer will continue to rise until we find a way to stop the slope as we age. But as a physician, I'm treating cancer differently today than I did in the past with much better results. So we have a lot to be grateful for. But anybody who's listening on this, in order to get this big question answered, which is going to stop the progress, is we need partners. We need corporate partners. We need philanthropic partners. We're working on a program in China where I just was there for meetings. They're going to come in as a partner with the similar to the National Cancer Institute with the foundation. I welcome any support I can get.
So we're speaking with CEOs, and we actually do have another minute and a half, I was informed, which is good because this is really important. How should CEOs get involved?
Well, I'll give you an example. I'm talking with a major corporation right now. I'm not sure. I'm talking about a corporation that is interested in healthcare and retail as well as other elements. And they're known as a corporation that is doing things to make a difference to the people they provide for. So I'm looking for a CEO of a company that would like to associate themselves with the foundation and take on a partnership on aging and cancer. A separate entity, we would look at it in one of the particular 12 areas, put that partnership together, get the government to come in further, and take this $3 million program and rapidly grow it up to $20 million. I can't do it alone.
And there you have it, your website, one more time.
WaxmanCancer.org.
Well, this is Dr. Samuel Waxman, and I want to say what a pleasure speaking with you.
Same here, Robert.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.